a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Night, everybody, what's going on? It's Monday night. It's Plum Love Food Live. It's your boy Chef Plum right now coming at you live. Sitting here down in the bar, in the basement, in the bar, at the bar, in the basement. Having a great time right now. Got some great chefs coming on tonight. Gonna do a little roundtable discussion, talk a lot about charity events that chefs have to deal with and do, have the opportunity to do. Deal with sounded bad. I didn't mean deal with, but events that we, are a part of and how we choose them and what we pick to do, because there's a big one tomorrow night happening here in Connecticut for the American Liver Foundation called Flavors of Connecticut. I will be there doing some interviews, some running around, some Facebook Live stuff. I'll post a link to that on my Facebook page as well, so you can see that later on tomorrow. And of course tonight, a couple of great chefs coming out here that are going to be at the event to talk to us about these events and how they do them, and talk business, talk a little shop. We're going to talk to my good buddy Chef John Brennan. He is a Food Network alumni himself, but he's got two great restaurants, more importantly, in New Haven, Olives and Oil, and of course, Elm City Social, a really badass restaurant with an awesome deck. Talking to him, and of course, my new friend, Chef William Eichner, is calling in from Locali, which is a restaurant in the New Canaan area, close to New York City. His restaurant looks incredible. It's kind of like they definitely serve pizza, but there's lots of other things there. Just a small place, and his food looks amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait to talk to him and see what's going on and talk more about the restaurant. We chatted for about 2 minutes on the phone a little bit. Didn't get into a whole lot. Just wanted to say hi to people before I talked to him for the first time. And then Chef Joseph Yorio from The Q is going to call in. The Q is a barbecue restaurant kind of done in an upscale way. It should be fun talking to him. And seeing about barbecue food, but again, getting just different points of view on not social media. Why am I saying social media? Look, everything's about social media. That's why. Different viewpoints on charity events. So it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to these. I love shows when we have more than one chef on. It's fun. You know, it makes my job easier because I don't have to talk so much, right? That doesn't sound good. My job's not hard to begin with. It's fun. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do is to come on here at night and talk to different chefs and talk about what they've got going on in their business and different restaurants and how they're doing things. So. This episode should be no different. It should be a great one. So I'm excited to have him on here talking. Anyway, speaking of charity events, just finished doing a big one here on my own that I did with our good friends over at Ergo Chef Knives in Danbury, Connecticut, in the tri-state area. You might be familiar with that. I know we're national, but sometimes, hey, I'm not always national. I have to do local stuff. And this event was local, but it was amazing. Two great chefs, Chef Kerry Favreau and Chef Mark Paquito, who's been on the show before, a good buddy of mine, competed against each other in a charity event where basically we were raising money for this kid's like medical charity, which is pretty cool. I feel bad about saying names of stuff, but I guess it's called the Samaritan Health Center. Anyway, they provide health care to kids, stuff like that, which is kind of one of the things in my wheelhouse. Basically, if it's kids, if it's animals, and if it's, I mean, vets are really important to me, too, but there's a lot of bad charities out there that do things for vets or don't do things for vets or raise money for vets. Anyway, this is great. These guys competed against each other. About 75 people there. Tickets included wine and beer and food from our good friend John Brennan, who is actually a judge, because the way we do this event, whoever wins at the next food fight is a judge for that next round. So it's always fun, and he was there, did a great job. He brought some food from Olives and Oil, from Elm City Social, deliciousness for everyone to have. Then we had some great beers and wines there for our friends over at Bottle Stop Wine and Liquor, and just a lot of great people. And our secret ingredient, basically, it's an Iron Chef style competition, okay? Inside of a warehouse. So we make two makeshift kitchens on pallets and shelving units, giant, big, heavy shelving units. You might see it like Home Depot that they would stack wood on or something. Big steel, like, just they use them for their stuff at the warehouse. So The kitchens consist of, they have an electric convection oven, which actually works really well. And they have two burners, two gas burners. It's like camp cooking at its finest. And basically, we ask them to make us three dishes, two plates each of three different dishes. I don't care if it's three desserts. I don't care if it's three entrees, whatever you want to make. Give us three dishes. They have an hour. But much like the old Iron Chef style, there's a secret ingredient, and they have to use a secret ingredient in their dish. And this one, at this particular event, was whole coconuts. So they had to crack the coconuts and use the milk and use the coconuts. I mean, it was pretty fun to see how these guys got creative with it. And, Chef Carey, his sous chef that he brought with him was a gentleman, a great sushi chef here in our state, a gentleman named Aki, who runs a restaurant called House of Yoshida. And Aki showed up, and this guy is just the man when it comes. I mean, his knife skills were just out of control. So Carey took the win. He won by 2 points, legit 2 points. And did a great job. He did. They both, the chefs, did a great job. Everyone did a great job. The whole place was great. Lots of people, great vibes, good energy, lots of fun. You know, it's just one of those events where, I don't know if it could have really gone any better. It went exactly the way it was supposed to. We actually had a timeline, you guys, and I stuck to the timeline, as hard as that is to even fathom. I did. I stuck to the timeline. It was awesome. And I would never have even expected I'd be able to do that in a million years, because it's hard when you're doing an event, keeping time on things, keeping the chefs happy. You know, I think the next time we'll do a little more, secret, you know, doing like secret ingredients, like adding in things or adding, you know, here's a list, throwing wrenches in what they're doing. That's what I'm looking for. Throwing wrenches in the cooking process. That's fun. You know, I mean, like, I should have stopped them halfway through and made them all use like a wine or something, but we didn't. Great event. Carey comes through with the win with three amazing dishes. He made a beef tartare that was out of this world. I told these guys, if they would actually step up the game a little bit and give me an extra plate for me when they make it, hey, you never know. You might get some extra points for that, right? Probably not. I mean, I would be awesome if you could, but probably no extra points there. But the judges did a great job. The food was great. The whole event was just so much fun. That, to me, is one of those charity events that's a lot of fun, because, you know, people come to it and they get something out of it. They got a great night. You know, and I'm not saying that as a promoter for the event, but just as a, you know, they have a great night. They had a lot of fun. I mean, there was, I feel like the ticket price was worth it. It was $25 on a Saturday night to have an event to go to like that. Like, you can't beat that, dude. Seriously. Like, that's insane. $25. We should have done it more expensive than that, I think. That probably would have been more fun. Maybe. I don't know. Listen, let's get another chef on here and talk to me about this event, because I got a guy on the line right here who's become one of my favorite chefs in my state personally. He's an incredibly talented guy. He's got two awesome restaurants in New Haven, Connecticut, on the that Eastern Seaboard Trail heading down to New York City. Olives and Oil and Elm City Social, two great spots, amazing food. We've had both his restaurants actually on a restaurant road trip, and both great. And the guy, he's just a smiling, happy guy. I don't think I've ever seen him angry at all, but become one of my favorite chefs here in the state. Ladies and gentlemen, Chef John Brennan. Brother, I can't get enough of you these past couple of days, huh?
Hey, what's up, man? Nice to see you.
I'm telling you, look, I just keep calling you to do stuff. Hey, man, you want to go do this? Hey, man, you want to go do this? You got to be tired of hearing from me now, right?
No, not at all, man. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time the other night, and it's always a pleasure to talk, you know?
Dude, I was recapping that a little bit, man, and I think that really kind of went off pretty cleanly. There wasn't any real big hiccups, and I think everybody was happy. Like, I think the ticket prices were just about where they needed to be, and I mean, pretty good event.
I think it was really great, and the chefs did a great job. The food was delicious, and of course, we had those bright margaritas really got me going too. So that was definitely a great addition this time.
Oh man, that ripe juice stuff, the mixer. It's a company called Ripe, and they're out of New Haven. It's just phenomenal. I mean, really, it's like, I don't really ever use a mixer, dude. Like, if I'm making you a margarita, I'm going to use tequila, Grand Marnier, and triple sec. I use both. A little bit of Rose's lime juice and fresh lime. That's how I'm going to make your margarita. And it's good. But that lime mixer they had, oh my God, it was so good.
It tasted really fresh and delicious, for sure.
Yeah. I was a little upset about the 4-ounce souffle cup of drink, though. I need more than that.
Yeah, we need like a 64-ounce jug for us, you know, but
yeah,
that's just us, you know.
I brought over a quart container and said, hey, can you guys fill this up or no? That's not going to work.
Can you fill up the quart container?
Yeah.
I drink out of quart containers like most of my life, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
But It was great stuff, man. A great event. You did a great job there. You always do. The food was phenomenal. Great feedback. Everybody loved it.
Oh,
I think people took all your coins too, didn't they?
All the coins were gone very quickly. So a lot of free drinks coming down to the Haven, I'm sure. So
yeah, there you go, right? Hey, man, talk a little bit about this pop-up you got coming up, man. I was reading about it. You were telling me more about it. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, so it's called Hot Chicken and Sexy Waffles, and it's my Waffle House pop-up. So we got it sponsored by Jack Daniels. So what we're doing is we're taking the Elm City menu, like the classics, we're doing one side, all Elm City classics, you know, the stuff that everyone loves, they order all the time. And on the other side, it's the whole brand new menu. So it's 10 different kinds of chicken and waffles, you know, everything ranging from our classic chicken and waffle to we're doing one, a falafel waffle. We're doing a fried rice waffle, cornbread waffle, and fried chicken, grilled chicken. And if you don't eat chicken, we have tofu. So you can get chicken fried tofu. So you get the same experience if you're a vegetarian, you know.
Listen, I'm kind of upset that you're even serving tofu. I don't want to instigate these people.
You know, in New Haven, we have a really large vegetarian population. So, you know, I've had the pleasure of learning how to cook all different kinds of, non-carnivorous.
I love how you said I've had the pleasure of hanging out with these hippie bastards. I'm just kidding.
You know, it's a good time. I can be just as much of a hippie bastard as anybody else. So, you know.
Nice. Maybe we'll go to we'll go to a fish show together and get a little patchouli. It'll be fun.
Yeah, a little patchouli grinder there never hurt anybody, you know.
Yes, it did. It hurt everybody. Everybody around
it. It hurt everybody, yeah. I don't know.
Everybody around
spot, you know.
Nice. Yeah, but the event was great last night, man. And it's funny because one of the things I want to focus on tonight, especially when William calls in here, man, in a little while, is as chefs, I mean, I think we get hit up for charity a lot. I think a lot more than people realize, don't you think?
I think just because we're so, you know, just ingrained. If you're doing it the right way, you're ingrained with your local community and, you know, people are coming in out of your restaurants and you're connecting with them and they have, you know, charities that are really important to them. And that's how it all gets together, right? I'm sure you probably have the same experience.
Yeah, I mean, they come across a lot. They do. They come across they want to do things. And you know, I'm catching a lot of flack, actually, believe it or not. Not a lot, but a little bit of flack because a little bit, I'm going really like hyper-local here. My one of my kids' school on Saturday night was doing a it's their PTA auction gala thing that they do. And they want to auction you off every year.
They did
it
last year.
Well, dude, I try to do something for every year, but this time around, I just can't. Like, you know, my summer is crazy. Like, I'm like, I could do something, but I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, kind of honor. Like, if I did a dinner for somebody, like, I couldn't really honor that until the fall. You know, I just can't.
Yeah.
And between road trip and work, I just can't. And they got a little shitty with me. I was like, really? Really?
Jeez.
I mean, that's what I hate, though, when you have these charity places that ask you for something, but then they get angry when you don't give it to them.
Yeah, I mean, luckily I have not had the opportunity yet, but I'm sure I'll have, you know, have it coming in the future. But yeah, that's rough, though, because, I mean, you are donating your time. We certainly go, I mean, we all work a lot anyway, so to ask for stuff on top of it, I'm not going to lie. You know, there's certainly some times where you're like, you know, it gets a little bit overwhelming. Maybe sometimes you're like, oh, wow, I just gave to, you know, 10 charities this month. And, you know, of course, you know, a lot of the charities are, a lot of they're asking for it during the holiday season. And, you know, I mean, I guess people don't realize sometimes how much they expect of small business and, you know, small, you know, local people in the area. And it's not like we're, you know, sitting on million-dollar houses anywhere, you know. But
no, definitely not. You know, but I mean, but I do think it's a good thing to do, man. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. We got the other guys on here, man. But I want to ask you. I don't think I've ever actually heard your story, man. How did you get into food?
I mean, I guess I was always into cooking when I was younger. I mean, I grew up cooking with my family and my mother a lot. You know, holidays were always like a big thing for us. So. I got to cook with my mother and my grandmother. And I did that. And, you know, when I was in high school, I worked in and out of some restaurants. And then I went to college, and I never really thought of it as a career. You know, it was always just like something that was like a hobby, I guess, or a second thought. And yeah, pay the bills. And, you know, it was like always like, oh, you got to go to college and, you know, pick what you want to do for a career. And that was certainly never like an option. You know, not that it was like held away from me, but just like a dumb kid, I ended up going to school for film. I mean, not that that's a stupid choice, but, you know, I went to school for film and I wasn't really like, you know, passionate about it. And I think it's one of those things, probably a lot like cooking, that you have to be really passionate about it because it's so competitive, obviously. And I ended up dropping out of school and just being stupid, you know, like we do when we were young, and working back in kitchens. And from that point, you know, working back in kitchens and working with some, you know, talented chefs here and there, within like a year and a half, maybe 2 years of me doing that, you know, I decided that this is what I want to do with my life. And, you know, I really think I found like a home just in the restaurant community, you know? I dig the lifestyle. You know, there's all different kinds of lifestyles, obviously, within like what, you know, spans of what we do. But I mean, I love like the restaurant day to day, the rush of it, the rush of the busy service, and, you know, having to be ready and the camaraderie of it. I don't know. I couldn't see myself doing much else, you know?
Well, you're right there, man. I think you're right on the money with that. It is the camaraderie. It is that rush, that feeling of it. And you know, I think you kind of find a family there. I mean, for me, it filled a hole that I was missing drastically. I needed in my life. And I joke about it here on this program all the time. I say that especially, you know, in my generation of cooks, which I think you fall in safely.
Closer than you think, yeah.
but I didn't ask to be in this. It just kind of happened. Like it's all I ever know. We're a broken band of pirates. Like it's just, we're the Lost Boys. Like it's just a group of people. Like the best part about a kitchen is I don't care if you're black, white, red, brown, purple, Jewish, Catholic. Can you cook? Can you hold your position in line? Can you hold your station? Cool. That's all that matters. And at the end of the night, same thing. I mean, that's kind of what happens. I think that, you know, I think a lot of kids these days, that they don't get that, you know, they're not getting that kind of treatment when they come out of school. They come out of culinary school, they try to work their way up in a restaurant, they go about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the right way is working your way up, starting as a dishwasher, doing it because you have to do it. You know, like if the day gets too hard for them, they can just leave, where I couldn't do that. If I did that, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
100%. Yeah, I feel you on that. I mean, I think definitely, you know, having to do it and having that passion and drive, I think, is really important. And I think that I think there's a lot of young people that certainly have the passion and drive for it, but maybe are not willing to, you know, go through the torture of what it was before. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you probably saw more of it than I did, and probably, you know, people before you a little bit more, you know, because kitchens can be rough. We all know that, you know. These days, I really like to think that it's getting cleaned up, and I don't think we have much of a choice, honestly, anyway, with the cultural change that we're seeing, you know, in the country now.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I think you're totally right about, like, so here's a cool thing. I got asked to judge Pro Start this year out in Rhode Island, which is awesome. And, you know,
that's
for
cool,
me
cool,
growing
cool.
up, but yeah, it's kind of like, a, you know, I'm kind of humbled to even be thought of to be a part of that, which is great. And, you know, I'll go in there and I will be very professional in the way that, you know, chefs are supposed to be. But you know, when I was growing up, there wasn't a Pro Start program. You know, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
That wasn't a thing. To me, it was, I got to go work the grill tonight on a Friday night, get my ass handed to me and get 75 burns on my arm and make sure I keep my ponytail pulled back. And, you know, that's what it was.
Yeah.
We're now.
I think
the
burns, you know. Yeah, it's definitely not like that. And I think that, you know, getting the burns on your arm and working through those busy shifts and sweating it out and, you know, really being put through that pressure is really what it's about, though, you know, to some degree. And I'm not saying anyone should be, you know, forced into something they don't want to do or participate in, obviously. But You know,
I am.
I don't know, for me at least, like, I do it to myself. But that's the worst part, you know.
Right, right.
Like, what am I going to do today? You know, but I don't know. I mean, at least for me, for you know, a long period of time, and even now, you know, when I get to work, the shifts where I fill in for someone if they're going on vacation or something happens, you know,
right.
To me, it's just like, I don't know. It's like meditation, you know. Like you're getting it's chaos, but right in the middle of that all, it's sort of just like this freeing experience. And
dude,
it brings us back to
it's because that's what we're used to. That's what we know. We know chaos, right? And in that chaos, yeah. There's a control in the middle of it. It's a really interesting thing because, you know, I was at an event a couple weekends ago. And I'm not gonna get too specific about it because it just doesn't matter. But it was a social type event, and it was in New York City. And you know, I'm, believe it or not, I'm actually pretty shy, right? At that kind of event, there's 100 people there, and my wife's with me, and she's like, "Oh, we should go talk to these people." I'm like, "Wait, you're gonna walk up and talk to them? That's weird. I can't do that. Yeah. I can't do that. That's crazy talk." But different story if I'm doing a demo or if I'm cooking in front of a bunch of people. It's a whole different story. Much like if I go to a catering or a party, if I was cooking the dinner for that party, I'd have been way more comfortable. It's just, it's because
well,
of the control
you're
thing.
Expected to be the show, you know? You expect it to be
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
I think as chefs, like we thrive in that kind of, on the outside, what looks like chaos. But when you go and watch it, most of the time, not all the time, when you go and watch it from the inside, it's not so chaotic. It's actually very methodical. It's kind of cool. When it's flowing the way it's supposed to go, it's really fun to watch and be a part of, especially if you understand what's going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dude, if you're working the pass, you're working the pass on a Mother's Day, and it's just you're just getting it handed to you, but it's all going, it's flowing. Dude, what's better than that?
Mother's Day. It's a shitty holiday. But it's, you know, but I had a GM and she was really great. And she's out of the business now. She has a little daughter and she's great at that, you know, but she was like one of the most militant GMs I've ever had. And she would bring all the servers together in the kitchen, right in front of all the line cooks. So everybody could hear the kitchen and the front house. And she'd be like, "Who's going to be the one to ruin grandma's last Mother's Day?" You know? And she would look at each one of them and have them say, "Not me, not me, not me."
Oh my God, that's funny.
And I don't know. You know, it's one of those things you don't forget. And,
oh my God, that is hysterical.
You know,
but everything. We had this assistant manager at this restaurant. This is probably 25 years ago now, in Virginia. And right before every night, right before it started getting busy, she'd walk in the kitchen in the back. And she'd go, "All right, fellas, you're going to feel a little push here coming. You're going to feel a little pressure. Feel a little push." And it was a different time. I mean, that there was a little bit more involved than that.
Yeah.
But that's what she would say. And I always thought, I'm like, this is insane. What is she talking about? I'll never forget the first time that she came and did that. My first Friday night ever at this restaurant, she did that. I'm like, what is she talking about? And then afterwards, I honestly felt like I might have been in prison for a night. It was awful. I was like, what the hell just happened?
But the best part
I remember the first is,
what's better than that beer or that drink afterwards? What's better? Like, we have a hair of a delay. It's I don't know why, but I'll don't worry about it. But that drink afterwards, bro, what's better than that? Nothing.
Yeah, nothing at all.
I mean,
great. Have a beer. I mean, you could have a crabby beer. It tastes great at that point, you know?
Yes, it does. And for me, anything, back then, it was also the cigarette, that beer and cigarette. That was what my thing was.
For sure.
It's weird, man. The business early days for me, like, you know, if I'd said, "Hey, chef, I'm going to take 5 minutes and just catch my breath," he'd look at me like I had 7 heads. But if I said, "Chef, I'm going to smoke a cigarette," he'd go, "All right, hurry up." Like, that was okay.
That culture has gotten away from it, too, you know, honestly. You know, just with, you know, people not smoking as much and, you know, I don't know. It's just
Some of the guys that have worked for me, I don't let them smoke because I'm saying, for me, what I do, we're going to somebody's house, you know, and
of course,
they're not smokers. Like, I don't want you smelling like that or being a part. We can't have that. It doesn't work.
It's very unprofessional. Yeah. Very unprofessional.
Absolutely.
I'm lucky enough to have not a lot of people that do smoke, but you know, I for both front house and back house, I'm like, listen, you know, your shift is, if you take your 15 minute break, you walk away from your walk a block away, you do whatever you want to do, you know, that's your time. But beyond that, you know, we don't have time for that, you know?
Right. It's just, I mean, I don't think it's appropriate. I mean, it's gross, dude.
Yeah. That's not good.
But there was a time, especially for me,
going to smoke some weed. I don't know, but maybe it's okay.
But there was a time for me and, you know, running hotels where, I mean, that was how you got a break. That was it. We'd work a 14-hour day. And,
yeah.
You know, chef, I'm gonna grab a cup of coffee and take 5 minutes to grab something to eat. He'd be like, you're gonna do what? What?
Yeah.
No. You know, it's just a different world, man. It's just a totally different world these days.
I think it was a lot of the head chefs, you know, the chef de cuisines as well. I mean, they probably smoked, you know, so that was like their thing. They understood it. It was almost like within the culture, you know.
It's like, man, that's for sure.
Is that like machine shop, you know, or like tradesman thing, you know? Because I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know what you would classify it as, but I mean, it's a blue collar job, right? I mean,
yeah, for sure.
You're you're working, it's manual, you know, it's you're all day. So maybe that cigarette came in through there. I don't know, but
you know, but I don't think it's a bad thing, man. I think that kind of gets a bad rap. I don't think it's a problem having a job like that where you work with your hands and you're creating something, you know. I mean, I think a lot of people these days they forget that our job, in essence, to sum it up, you know, really short. And I said this, I was on Brian Duffy's podcast recently, and he asked me what I thought, and I said, dude, our job is to make people happy. That's what we're supposed to do, and people forget that, I think, sometimes. Like in the whole social media world that we live in now, our job is to make people happy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So
I agree with you.
I think people have gotten away from it.
That's like you think of the word hospitality, what you're doing. You're there for the customers. I say it to everybody all the time, you know. That's what we're here for. We're here to make them happy, you know. I think you're right. Some chefs get away from it. Some bartenders get away from it. They're more, you know, they're there for themselves sometimes, right. You know. You have to be like, hey, like, what are we here for? You know, you're here for the customer. You're here to make them happy. And, yeah, I mean, listen, you could have an aggravating customer. That happens all the time, right? You know, but
oh, no doubt about it. Part of the gig.
You have to be professional enough to deal with it, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the deal. You have to handle that stuff. You just have to handle it, and not just. It could be somebody else on the line. That it could be a manager. It could be a server. You know, or like you said, a customer. But either way, you have to deal with it. That shit has to get left when that plate goes out, because you're only as good as the last one you put out. That's it, man. And
yeah.
You know, the other thing that bot drives me nuts these days too, since we're riding on the what makes you crazy in the restaurant business world as a chef, these guys who want to take pictures of all their plates before they send them out when we're busy. Really, dude?
Yeah. I get it. You know, it's funny because I've been trying to be more active, you know, with social media. So, I mean, I'm lucky enough where I can schedule photo shoots and I make all my dishes. And they take pictures of them for me, or I can hire somebody to come to one of my events and take pictures while we do things. And it's always nice to have those photos for social media, because people really like to see the interacting, like, you know, of what's going on. But I will say, like, I remember, like, growing up as a chef and being like, geez, like, how do these guys have time to take all these pictures? You know, because when you're in the heat of it, you know, really, really doing the job, and you're working 80 hours a week, and, you know, you're partying afterwards too. It's not really helping you much at all, but it's tough. I mean, yeah, taking the pictures before the plate goes out to the customer. Yeah, it's a ridiculous world we live in. But
I mean, dude, I'm doing events in the city, and I'll have guys who this is the best one ready, and I'll get off my soapbox here. I'll have guys who will. You know, we'll make plates. We'll be doing a dinner, you know, plate the dinner for however many people, and we'll be plating things up, and they'll plate it. Then they'll tell my server, hey, hang on a second, I want to take a picture of it. And then here's the best one. Then they post it on their social media as if it's theirs.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Dude. Like, that's I don't care funny. If you're going to be a part of it. That's totally cool. Like, I have so many issues with this. There's so many problems with this for me. Like, post it, that's cool, but tag me. You know, hey, hanging with Chef Plum, making this dinner, it's great times or whatever. We're banging things out. No problem with any of that stuff, dude. You know, you're part of the team. We're doing it together. Great.
Don't post
it and be like, another great dinner, banging them out. Looks badass, doesn't it? I'm like, yeah, it's my fucking food, jackass. Here's my awards. Where's yours? And then I get pissy. It's like an asshole. Anyway, look, man, let me step off my high horse here. I want to bring another chef into the mix here.
All right, cool.
A gentleman I just met. You can hang out, right? You got to go? Can you hang with us for a bit?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I got nothing to do.
You're a chef. I'll never say that. I've never met this gentleman. We've never met in person. We talked on the phone a few minutes ago, probably about an hour ago, just talking about stuff. His name is Chef William Eichner. He's awesome. His restaurant's called Locale down in New Canaan, Connecticut. The menu looks phenomenal. Seems like a really sweet guy, a nice guy, a good chef. Got some kids, just trying to make things happen, making great food. He's going to be a part of this event tomorrow night happening called the Flavors of Connecticut to benefit the American Liver Foundation. Foundation or Society, John? I can't remember. Did I mess up? Or I might have messed up.
I think it's Foundation. Yeah. No.
All right, cool. I didn't mess up.
Yeah.
We should be Society. The Society sound cooler. It sounds more like we're a gang then. But
it sounds like Secret.
Chef,
yeah.
There you go. William, what's up, brother? How are you, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I've been listening the whole time here. And
that's
couldn't agree more on a lot of it.
No,
that's fine. No, it's a Monday. It's a Monday. What the hell are we going to do on a Monday besides do this?
I mean, look, I'm standing right now sweating. That's how much I've been ranting to John. And John just puts up with me because he's used to me running my mouth. So, by the way, William, this is Chef John Brennan from down New Haven, Olives and Oil, Elm City Social. And John, Chef William Eichner from Locale in New Canaan.
Cheers. Nice to meet you.
How are you? Absolutely.
Dude, so what do you think, man? We're talking about charity stuff, Chef, and the best part about having chef friends is all you say is chef, and they all look at you, which is great. So you don't know anybody's name.
No, it's the worst one in a room of 50 of them.
That's why it's great, because they all look at you. I got another guy that's going to join us here in a minute, and we'll talk more about this, man. But just to get your opinion, William, like, you know, you're a chef at a restaurant. The food looks great. I mean, do you just get hounded for – and I'm not going a negative route, don't worry. For charity stuff, man, John and I were talking about it. Like, it's a lot. And, you know, small business owners, it becomes heavy, but you still want to do it to support guys. Do you see a lot of it coming your way?
No, I mean, it's uncanny. I mean, you get it every week, once or twice, whether it's local schools, local churches, somebody's kid that's sick down the road that you don't know their first name or last name to. And it's daunting because, you know, you can only do so much and you can do 50 things, not 51 things in one day.
Right.
You know,
that's a really good line. That should be a shirt,
dude.
That should be a shirt. I can do 50 things. 51 things is too many. That's pretty good, dude.
Yeah.
I'd buy that shirt. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. No, it gets rough. I mean, you got to answer the phone calls. Now you're in the middle doing orders, cooking, talking to guests, and all of a sudden, hey, Johnny left his left toe. You know, can you help him? And I'm like, yeah, here's a pizza. Like, what do you want me to do?
I knew I liked him. This guy, William's awesome. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, my cat's stuck in a tree. Can you help me? I got a whole GoFundMe to buy a ladder. Can you help me out with that? Can you post it on social
my
media?
My cat loves this pizza.
Yeah.
Hey, I was wondering if you could do a dinner. My cat is stuck in a tree, and we need to do a dinner.
Yeah, he's got six toes on the right one and one blind eye. Can you make him feel better?
Look, we can't sound cynical. Hey, listen, man, this event tomorrow night. Is this your first time doing the Flavors of Connecticut event, or have you done it before?
No, it's my first time. I just spoke with the chairman. He gave me his background on how he got hepatitis through a blood transfusion in 1982 or whatever.
Wow.
And that's unfortunate how he, you know, contracted. But, you know, they had sent me an email through the company website asking to reach out. And I said, sure, why not? You know, it's slow enough to season before it starts getting patio across the board in all the restaurants. So I was like, yeah, let me get out for a bit before, you know, I sit there underneath the hoods and my nose crust. But, no, I figured, let me get out for a bit.
Now, the fun part about this is, so you guys, you're actually making tables, right? And decorating a table and doing a, like how many courses do you have to do?
So it's two hand pass, 30 pieces for two items, and then a table of 12 table side. So two rows, 8 foot, plus, like, I think it's a 72 round. So I'm at a 13 if you have a guest added. So but I have a fun really coming. I got a bunch of stuff.
Is it plated dinner?
Yeah, it's a plated course, dinner. Yeah. Five course dinner, yeah.
So five courses for 12 people plus past apps for them. Is that right?
Yeah, some chefs do 24. I got lucky, got two tables this year. You know.
Of course you did.
Yeah,
that's
there's
like
a lot of extra chefs this year.
Yeah. It should be a lot of fun. The first year I did it, one of the chefs did not show up. That was right next to me. So I got a surprise 24. So that's good.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, how do you just not show up when you sign up for a charity event? That's really shitty.
Yeah. That's
you get arrested the night before.
Okay. Well, maybe that's something to do with it.
That's
probably, all right, let's check it out, gentlemen. I got one more chef to bring into the mix here. We'll get this roundtable kind of going here for a few minutes. This gentleman is actually from Danbury, Connecticut. Again, this event's taking place in Connecticut, so we got a lot of Connecticut chefs, some great chefs. I've actually been trying to go see this guy on our show, Restaurant Road Trip, to visit him. We just have to get the schedule to work out. We got some friends together, some mutual friends, but he was actually at our event last night, Saturday night, John. I didn't get a chance to actually talk to him a whole lot, but happy to have him on here right now and hoping to make brand new friends. Chef Joseph Yurio from the Q in Danbury. Chef, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Not much, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Dude, we're running our mouths here about nothing. What are you doing?
I've been listening for a while.
That's what we do, man. That's what we do. Hey, tomorrow night, Flavors of Connecticut, you're going to be there. You got your table. What's some of the things you're serving for this event, bro?
We do some stuff a little outside the box. We're going to do some of the stuff we do for our Burmigan is in our restaurant. And one entree is like temperatures of beef. And we're going to do like a little steak tartare, a rare filet, a medium New York strip, and then like a piece of our well done prime brisket. So it's
all
like
sounds
four,
amazing.
Four temperatures of beef. You know what I mean? Little bite sized pieces on the plate.
Cool. Let me tell you something, brother. First of all, I'm a giant red meat fan. I love steak. I'd have steak for lunch. I'd have steak for breakfast, steak for dinner. Do you know what I want for dessert? More steak. So that's good news. That's what makes me happy.
Yeah, right?
Is this your first time doing the event, Chef, or is it have you done it before?
Yeah, first time doing it. We're excited about it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it sounds like a great event. And William, is it, your dishes, man, what you're serving. Talk about some of the things you're making.
I'm doing more of like an East meets West. You're talking pea and fava mousse to an aged duck with some cultured pretty much pork fat across the board. Do a gluten-free brownie, Dan.
Is it weird that I'm turned on? Does that make everybody feel weird? Because I'm just being honest. I just want everybody to know, like, this is awesome. And John, what are some things you're doing, bro?
I have some cool dishes on there. I'm just doing a warm salad with a poached duck egg. I have a seared scallop with pea puree. I'm doing a beef bourguignon. I got some chuck rolls, and I cut out like Rubik's cube size squares out of the center. So I braised those, and I got them in some vac seal bags. We're gonna run them in the sous vide tomorrow. And my mother is my pastry chef. She made these awesome chocolate mousse cakes with our little rubber ducky in there as well, with a little bit of blue and white bubbles around.
I saw it on Instagram. It looked awesome. That looked awesome, man.
She does a really great job. So
here's the thing, man, and I know it's always weird when chefs first meet each other. That's that weird, like, minute and a half, 2 minutes where you're not sure if we're cool. Are we cool? Maybe we're not cool. Maybe we're cool. I don't know. That's that whole weird thing when chefs first meet. But so far, every chef I've met is extremely cool, especially once you get past that. But one of the things that, for me, when I pitched doing Restaurant Road Trip to Channel 8 was, here in Connecticut, this is a national show, so I'm not going to focus a whole bunch on that, but the fact that we are sandwiched between Boston and New York, it's hard to get a lot of attention for us. But one thing I've learned over the past year is, my God, we have some really fucking good food here, man. There's some really talented chefs in our state, man. Have you guys seen that too?
Definitely.
Sorry, I should probably say who to talk because I forgot there's so many of us on the phone. John, what do you think, man?
I think Connecticut's full of really, really great restaurants, whether it's like your small mom-and-pop gems, you know, some of the old stuff, or, I mean, there's a lot of great new young chefs doing really great work all over the state. So I love going out to eat, obviously. So, you know.
And Joe, what do you think, man? I mean, you're in Danbury, man, I'm not going to lie to you, it's a tough area. I mean, to find good food, and obviously you're doing great food there. What do you think, man? I mean, we've got some great chefs in the state.
It really is. I mean, Danbury, like lately in the past few years, there's so many like chain restaurants that opened in Danbury. So we're trying to do something like completely outside the box. I mean, what did you say?
It's out of control, the chain restaurants. You're absolutely right.
Everywhere you look, and Danbury is like inundated with chain restaurants. It's like there's over 50 chain restaurants in Danbury. But you know, it's a little better for us because we have to show what we do, and you know, if you appreciate good food, they come to us. You know. And
right.
A few other restaurants.
And William, dude, you're down there in New Canaan where it's just like its own little, I mean, it's its own little area down there in New Canaan. And we should talk because I got asked to do some consulting work on a restaurant down there. And if you guess three times, I'm telling you, you'd probably get it eventually as to where it's at. I'm not going to say it because that wouldn't be cool. But there's a lot of little small restaurants there. you know, like up to my buddy Luke Venner, his place down there. And like there's so many great restaurants in New Canaan, the smaller ones. And great chefs down there. Is it harder for you down there with so many smaller independent places compared to like, you know, being where it's a bunch of corporate places? What do you think?
No, I mean, like I used to do a lot of Danbury restaurants. You're dealing with a lot of other country owners, so to speak. But no, even in New Canaan, everybody gets a piece of the pie because of the income. I mean, if you drive down Owen Oak Road or Smith Ridge Road, I mean, you're talking houses I'll never see their garage for a lifetime. But I mean, I was just even talking with somebody at Food Network, and I said, why is Connecticut skipped over on competitions? Why is it shied away from, you know, not
I live here, and I've done Food Network 10 times. We're not skipped that many times. I've done Food Network 10 times. So we've
there's not that many selected. I mean, we just had that guy from Stanford. You know, they more focus on New York and who's got the pity party or the drama aspect and who's got a backstory of, you know, abuse and religion. Everybody's got to have the same foil on the show. I think it's ridiculous.
Good call. Listen, here's the thing, too, and I'm just going to throw this out there to all you guys that are listening right now and to what's going on. And we've talked about this a lot here on this program is that, you know, Food Network's going through some tough times right now. It's no secret. I shot a pilot. They paid for it. They asked for me specifically. We shot a pilot for them. And they have shut down everything because digital is changing their world and they don't have a different plan for digital content. And I mean, if you notice, there was no casting for Food Network Star this season. All the other castings have stopped for the most part, except for Beat Bobby Flay, which by the way, they don't pay for. Everything stopped because the world's changing because they got away from what was their bread and butter. They got away from it. They stopped doing, you know, the great cooking shows. Instead, now we get to watch Charo, Vanilla Ice, and Vern Troyer cook burgers in front of people. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I mean, do you guys remember the old Emerald Live show? How awesome was that show? Or
it was great.
Yeah, that's before when he was on cocaine.
Well, right. Well, it
was before he was on cocaine or before,
before he was bankrupt real quick. And then
yeah, I'm pretty sure he was on cocaine all the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Oh. I mean, whatever.
I'm going to point out my age in the business. Someone earlier today made the joke to me about, they said, hey, does your event have cocaine? Hey, did you guys get cocaine for your event? They asked one of the guys that was working the event that. And I said, that motherfucker's lying. It was a joke. He was like, I said, you know that guy's lying. He goes, why? Yeah. And I said, who the fuck ever gets cocaine and saves it for later? Because that's not ever happening in the real world.
No, you're shitting after two.
But, I mean, you're seeing a change in stuff, which actually is a great question, man, for all you guys, you know, and seeing how it goes. And, John, I know you're big on it. And William, we just, you know, recently started talking here, and I haven't really got deep into your stuff yet, man. And Joe, I don't know all your story as far as it goes yet, but social media is changing our business. completely changing our business because everybody has a food critic now and how important that is.
No,
William, have you seen that, bro? Have you seen that? Is it affecting you like in any way or positive or negatively?
Well, I mean, it sucks the other way around. It's not like nobody's writing actual reviews in paper. It's some millennial on Yelp that doesn't know where they're going unless they look at their phone. I mean, I just had a client come in that does Stu Leonard's under contract, and they wonder why their sales went down based on baby boomers versus millennials. And it was a whole long process talking to the guy, but at the end of the day, he was like 33% change over because they just push a button on their phone, and they'd rather pick and flick their nose instead of getting outside.
I want to point out, first of all, you and I should go for the tag team titles because I think we'd win. I'm telling you, like, you and I are like, I think that we might be brothers from another mother. I'm just saying, like,
I'm being very reserved.
Dude, I don't need to be it because you're doing it for me. Joe, bro, what do you think, man? Like, you've seen it too in this business, the way that the food world has changed, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the social media part of it, I mean, it has definitely great points to it, but there is a lot of negative out there. I mean, especially in my town, like getting back to the chain restaurants, you know, they compare, you know, us to like, you know, whatever it is, the Texas Roadhouse or some, you know what I mean?
Completely different stuff. Really?
You know, or they have like ribs at Chili's and compare them to what we're serving. And it's unbelievable. You know, and I see, I stopped reading all the reviews and all of that because it makes me crazy, you know, but
good.
I know it definitely is changing, you know?
And by the way, I have to bust your balls a little bit because Saturday night, you came to the event. I didn't actually realize you were there until after the fact when Mikey told me. But thanks for saying hi. That was awesome. You didn't, by the way.
You were so busy, though. I don't want to bother you. You're all over the place.
Oh, don't put it on me. Don't be like, oh, you were too busy. Don't put it on me.
Yeah.
Dude, you came up and said, hey, what's up? I'd have gave you a hug. I'd have gave you a hug, shook your hand. Like, bro, I've been wanting to meet you. It's awesome. Come on, dude. Come on. That's not how it works. Whatever.
Yeah, man, you
were
going crazy, though. But we also snuck in a bottle of bourbon, too. So we got a little,
ain't nobody going to be mad at you for that. Look, it's my event. I'm not going to be angry. And John was a judge. John, would you be angry? He snuck in a bottle of bourbon?
No, not at all. You're drinking your vodka and diet beer, right?
Yeah, well, we ain't talking about that. Thanks for bringing that up. But, well, dude, here's the thing, man. And it's interesting because for you guys that don't know, at Joseph's restaurant at the Q in Danbury, they're doing barbecue food, but you're doing it kind of upscale. Is that right? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the thing is, we started out like 14 years ago as a catering company. That we slowly got into barbecue with our catering, and we started doing this small gourmet to go store we had. And it just took off. So I had a chance to get into a building and open a restaurant, but we wanted to have that same like contemporary style food we had at our for a catering company for years. So we kind of fuse it to like the, it's more like a wood fired concept than it is just all barbecue,
I love that.
And it's, everything is like almost all meats. We buy a prime beef for our briskets, our sirloin tips, everything we're buying, so it's definitely not your average, like getting a line and get a tray of food and sit down on paper and plastic,
Well, because a lot of barbecue places do that. You're right. A lot of barbecue places, it's a tray of food. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, my buddies over at Hoodoo Brown, that's what they do. It's delicious. It's a plate of food. You get a cold beer and you fucking crush it, Cody and Chris do a great job over there. So was my guy over at The Stand. They do a great job. Tyler Anderson over Cooking the Bear does a great job with it. But you're doing a little bit differently, man. You're actually plating it up and making it look pretty, right?
Yeah, definitely. We do, that's our style. Everything has its own sauce. We make our own sauce from scratch. There's 8 of them now that we created that were just, we get a flight of sauces on the table. So everything's served dry and, I feel the way it should be, But we have other items on the menu. Like, we have prime T-bones. We have dirty steaks that we cook in the hot coals of our wood-fired grill.
You shit me! You throw around the hot coals. You throw the steaks around the hot coals. That's some old school shit right there.
Yeah, I mean, the coals, those things are like 1,200 degrees. You're like searing inside your strap, things like that.
Gentlemen, William, and John, I don't know if you guys are doing, but maybe we should go have some barbecue. You guys in? I kind of like barbecue.
I'm
down. Let's do it. Yeah.
It sounds amazing, man. I tell you what, it's one of those things that I think if you do barbecue long enough, you start getting into crazy stuff. A friend of mine, his name is Christian Stevenson, DJ Barbecue. He lives in London. He's friends with Jamie Oliver. He's been on this program also, but he's won a lot of worldwide competitions. And what he does, one of the things that he was breaking down to me is how fun and how much it can change. And as a chef, I think as chefs, we look for control, is my point earlier, John, when we were talking. We look for control. We can control it, then we're happy because we're control freaks. We're cocksuckers. We want to control everything. And it's gotten to the point now where this guy himself, he's making his own charcoal that he cooks on. And I mean, Joseph, are you close to that, man? Have you looked into that, like making your own charcoal, like making that sort of thing happen?
You know, somebody was talking maybe a couple of weeks ago in our restaurant about making our own charcoal. And, you know, the thing is, like, we really have our own style of doing it. Like, we don't use a lot of charcoal. We use a blend of like four different woods that we use for everything we do.
Yeah.
Guys, come down and check it out. I mean, the thing is, like, we wanted to have all the craft beers. We have like over 70 bourbons in the restaurant. Like, we wanted to come off the job kind of feel to it, that, you know.
More than it sounds like you're making food for chefs, is what it sounds like. It sounds like you create a place that chefs want to hang out.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, shit. Yeah. By the way, I'm mad at you too. If you show up at the event Saturday night, you're there, you're hanging out. I hope you had fun, but you're bringing bourbon and didn't share. You might be an asshole. I'm just saying, you might be. That's all.
You might be.
I think all sounds
thank you.
A little bit, right?
Was it fun? Did you have a good time?
No, we had a blast. We had a really good time.
I mean, it's one of those things where, William, we did an event. We call it Food Fight, and hopefully we'll get you involved at some point, man. It's a lot of fun. Pick a charity. We keep the ticket prices really low. A lot of people show up, and it basically it's an Iron Chef-style food competition inside of a warehouse in a makeshift kitchen. It's pretty badass.
Perfect. That's like you right now at a Kenmore.
Yeah, it's like me. What he's talking about, you guys, is that my kitchen's getting remade in my house. We're getting redone, which is going to be awesome. I'm very excited about it. But I'm cooking in my playroom on a camping stove and some Sterno. Pretty awesome. I made dinner for the kids on a Sterno tonight. How about that? And by the way, if you guys all want to know, it takes four Sternos to boil about 2 quarts of water. Just
out of water.
Out there.
Yeah. You ain't having no pasta then for a while, huh?
No, but it does work, though. You can do it. You can do it. So, guys, this event tomorrow night, man, looking like a lot of fun. I can't wait to come meet you guys in person, shake your hands, and say what's up to you. I'm going to be there doing – I don't actually know what I'm doing. They want me to come, and I think I'm doing, like, a whole Facebook thing or something. Whatever, it'll be fun. But, you know, I told them I'm more comfortable hanging out with chefs and running my mouth and being fine, you know, being cool with them. And I said, you know, it's probably not going to be – super clean because I'm a cook at heart and that's what's going to be. But it's a lot of fun. So Joseph, we haven't had a chance to ask you yet, man, when it comes down to these type of events and charity, do you get hit up for charity a lot? How does that work for you guys over at the Cube?
Oh my God. All the time. I mean, it's like a steady daily thing, but you know, the thing is, glad it comes back to you. And I think it's really important that we're doing stuff like this, you know,
for sure. For sure.
We do something like we've been in business in this town for, you know, probably a bit like 17, 18 years and in one form or another. But like we do something for the school, like the schools in the fat field, and we feed them all like for their fun day, like your kids, yeah, have the field day fun day thing. So we feed like 400 kids out in the field, you know, a little healthy lunch. And it's you know, it all comes back to us in the restaurant. It really does. We got a lot of support from the fat field and in Danbury area because of it.
Well, hey, when you do that, I'm local. You should get in touch with me. I'll help you.
Yeah. All right.
No doubt about
coming
it.
Coming up
no
soon.
About it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm busy. But, I mean, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, dude. You got my, I'll make sure you have my info, but you need me, you call me. I'm more than happy to. I'm a firm believer in this business that we're all in. It's a very cutthroat. It's a very hard business to be in. But if we all, everybody wants a piece of their pie, basically. And I think if we all work together, just make one big ass fucking pie, we can all get some. We're much stronger together than we are not, and that's the basis of what I do, and it's important. And you know, John, who I know very well, he hears me preaching my shit all the time, but I think it's important. And doing things like this and just talking, a bunch of chefs get together, run their mouths, and just, it's good stuff, man. It's good for everybody because it's connections, and that's what it's about. Doing events like tomorrow night, that's what it's about. It's about connections. And I know John has a crazy plan for his table, because I think the table decorating part of it. Yeah, and we'll get to you. We'll get to you. We'll ask you. But William, I want to ask you, man, what are you doing to decorate the table, or is it more about the food?
Nah, it's more about the food. I'm going simple on the table. Yeah, it was by the time, you know, I got a list of things going between an ice sculpture and all this other crap, and I'm like, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to go all clean, all white, you know, good amount of negative space and just keep it tight.
I like that.
Because, I mean, now, people are paying.
I'll wear a black Speedo and some pasties with tassels, and I'll bring my Gitalele if you want. I'll play Tiny Dancer the entire time wearing that, sitting on the bench in the middle of the table. Is that good or no?
Oh, good. I'll get the award for something out of nothing.
And he's not talking about my, well, whatever. We won't get into that. I am older. But it's about the food. That's fine. Joe, what are you doing for the table, dude? Are you doing something fun for it or no?
Yeah, you know, we had to, because that's, you know, that's what we do, our catering business. But we're doing some kind of, trying to push that, like farm to table, local kind of thing. So we built like this little mini barn kind of thing and making like a little meadow and shit. But it should be good, you know?
Well, it sounds fun. And now, are you guys ready? Because I just want you to hear what Over the Top is, if he's actually doing what he told me he's going to do. John, tell him what you got planned.
So at one of my restaurants, Elm City Social, we have a drink called the Rubber Ducky, and it's our signature drink. You know, we've become a little famous in the area for it. So I got a lot of Rubber Ducky stuff. It's pretty delicious, pretty delicious. So I have, number one, the 8-foot-tall inflatable rubber duck that I got donated to me. I have a rubber ducky ice luge, so we can take shots of rubber ducky cocktails all night long. That glows with lights in it. And then one of my business partners, he built me a little duck slide with like a water pump. So I'm going to pick up tomorrow live ducklings that are going to hang out with us the whole time and go up and down the water slide.
Oh my God.
So
what the fuck,
I was my
dude?
Third
Come
time
on.
Doing the event, so I hope they don't kick me out for doing that. But
oh my God.
Yeah.
Bro.
It's one of the few events where there's no health inspector, you know, so I figured I had to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no, we'll be all right. I'm bringing Japanese charcoal in, so I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. Last year, somebody had a person painted in gold as like a Buddha that just sat there in the middle of the table. So I figured I'm sick of losing. So, you know, if I can't win.
Wait, is it a competition?
Yeah, you got to win. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's an award for best table presentation. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think I set
the game up, bro. Joseph, you got to step your game up, brother. You can't show up there with like, oh, I made some flowers. This dude's got live ducks on the table.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, though, they also judge you based on, like, I think it's like real table setting, you know, judging.
What?
So, like, if you don't do, like, yeah, I swear to God, I'm pretty sure it's
French bullshit.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
I mean, here's what they fucked up.
They asked me to be a part of it, so that's where they fucked up. So I'm like, who cares? He's got live ducks. Look at that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if somebody can get a naked person on their table, that would be awesome. So maybe, Joe, I don't know if you got plans, or William, whatever you guys can do, find a naked person, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
I'm not even picky.
That's just
whatever you can get. That's a lot of singles. I caught you. Nobody else heard about it.
Yeah,
yeah,
all
right.
Proceeds go to the liver.
Oh, man. This event's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. It's happening. Flavors of Connecticut to benefit the American Liver Foundation. They got three great chefs here on the phone who are going to be there. They're going to make awesome food. They're going to do amazing table setups. It should be a lot of fun. We'll be there. We're going to broadcast the whole thing live on Facebook on the Flavors of Connecticut Facebook page. And, you know, I'll be running my mouth. That's what I do. I'm kind of pissed. Now that I know how it works, I wish they'd asked me to be a part of it, because that'd have been a lot of fun. I mean, can you prep the food there, or do you got to prep it somewhere else? Anybody?
You prep it. You prep it. I mean, I prep most of my stuff, you know, at the restaurant and sort of just reheat and, you know, cook this year stuff table side. So, yeah.
Right. Right.
It depends on how detailed and you want to do.
I'll also do some stuff there on my Instagram Live, man. It should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it, man. It should be. Seriously, it sounds awesome. Joseph, You're awesome, brother. I wish I got a chance to talk to you a little more Saturday night, but I look forward to meeting you tomorrow night and having a great time with you, bro.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be great. It'd be great. Yeah, bring you a little
bit. I appreciate yeah, please. Honestly, like, what are you doing? Leave me hanging here, dude, all right? Seriously, like, this is bullshit. thanks for coming to our event the other night. I hope you had a great time. Maybe we'll get you involved at some point the next time. We're talking about doing a barbecue event, so you never know.
Yeah, definitely. All right, guys. Well, and, have a good night. Thank you very much.
Hey, listen, and we're doing season 3 of Restaurant Road Trip starting in May. So I know we tried before. We'll try again. We got to make this happen, all right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I appreciate it.
All right. My man. Hey, we appreciate it, brother, and we will talk to you later on, all right?
All right. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
My man. See you, buddy. There he goes. Chef Joseph Urio from the Q in Danbury. Super nice guy. Looking forward to talking to him. William, bro. Pleasure to meet you, my friend. Seriously, I'm happy to talk to you, and hopefully we'll maintain. And who knows what happens here down the road? But if I could ever do anything for you, got my number. Hit me up, man. Shoot me a message.
No, absolutely. Likewise. Thank you for having me on the air.
No doubt about it, bro. And we'll see you tomorrow night. All right.
Absolutely.
And by the way, you have a Detroit phone number. How'd that happen? Are you from Detroit?
No, it's a long story. We'll talk tomorrow about it. But the number, that's going to stay for a long time. You can't forget that number.
No. That's pretty
like Eminem. It's
say.
Like literally Eminem's number.
Seriously, that's insane. Hey, bro, listen. Pleasure to talk to you tonight. Thank you for taking the time to come hang out with us. Hope you had a good time. And we'll talk tomorrow for sure, all right?
No, absolutely. See you guys tomorrow.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. There he goes. That's Chef William Eichner. Eichner? I might have said his name wrong, dude. I should have asked him. Fuck, I'm an asshole. From Locale down in New Canaan. His menu looks awesome. You got to check him out. See, I leave you on to last, bro. Is that cool?
Oh, that's cool to me.
See, I feel like you and I have done this a few times, so that's why I don't like feel like I need to be as professional with you.
Yeah, if you don't want to rush it, you know? You want to, like, do it the right way, you know?
Are you really doing the live duck thing tomorrow night?
I really am, yeah.
Where are you getting your ducks from? I know people if you need some.
My buddy, he's got them up in, like, it's in Hartford. They're actually, like, really easy to get right now because of Easter, you know? People just pick up, like, little ducklings and chicks on Easter and bring them to their family's houses and stuff. I guess. It might be a Connecticut thing, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
If you... So, you know, if you want to bring ducks to your family's house on Easter, I have something for you.
My wife would kick me in the nuts, dude. Neighbors in Connecticut is tomorrow happening. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do some stuff on social media for it. You'll see it there. Of course, one of my favorite chefs in our state here locally, John Brennan. Very, very talented guy. More importantly, a very good human being. Bro, thank you for all your help this weekend. Seriously, I really, truly appreciate it.
Hey, of course, anytime, and I'll see you tomorrow for some Iceland shots at my table.
What are we doing? Are we doing the rubber ducky shots off your table? Is that the plan?
Yeah, we're doing rubber ducky shots off a rubber ducky ice luge.
I'm in. I'm going to be behind the scenes doing stuff. So they wanted me to host, but apparently they had already hired somebody else before they hired me, and they want me to host it next year. But I don't know.
I think we should try to take it over. You know.
Well, I'm in. Let's do it, bro. You and me, we can do it.
Right.
Here's the thing. I don't think I'm that great of a host. I want to point out to you, I don't know if you noticed at all, but this past Saturday night, brother, I didn't say one curse word.
Oh, no cursing? Is that a thing? You can't do that, to be honest?
Well,
is that real?
No, but I was just trying to be more professional. So I said, listen, if I'm hosting an event,
yeah.
I should probably not be Chef Plum.
Yeah,
I should be right. Chef Plum, the character, not the real Chef Plum. And I should come out here and be professional and talk to people and, well, hello, nice to meet you, sir. I can't wait. But I'm just kidding. And not say those words. I had a few dick joke innuendos, which happens. I can't help that.
Yeah.
I never actually said it. So I didn't curse. I was proud. As a matter of fact, Ryan Christopher from WTNH, our mutual friend, called. He goes, you were really good Saturday night. You didn't say one curse word. And he's like,
wow.
I caught myself belly laughing at you several times. And I was like, hey, you know what? That's how I know I'm lucky to have a wife. When Ryan Christopher calls me and tells me that.
That's pretty good.
No, I love the guy. Just kidding. Hey, man, I appreciate your time this season, brother. I know you're very busy, so thank you for coming on. And
hey,
we'll definitely do this again,
time.
Man. Just hanging out.
All right, sounds good.
For sure,
I'm
man.
Excited.
All right, brother. Listen,
right, man,
I'll see you tomorrow.
All
right, have a great rest of your night. Sounds good, dude. We'll see you.
You too. Cheers.
There he goes, guys. Chef John Brennan from Elm City Social and Olive Oil in New Haven. One of my favorite chefs. Honestly, that dude is awesome. Like, if you look at the awesome people in the world, he is one of them. He is on the list. If you look up awesome chefs, John Brennan's going to be on that list. He's a great guy. So is Joseph Yurio. And, of course, our new friend, William Eichner. That guy's awesome. Happy to make new friends always, especially in chefs, because literally as chefs, we have to sit together. I mean, I think the generation of chefs that are actual chefs is fading. And we have a responsibility to teach people. We do. We have a responsibility to teach people, to show them the way, to show them, I guess to put it like this, a wise man once said to me, he said, "Chef, how can you ever know where you're going if you don't know where you came from?" And I swear to God, it's one of the smartest things I've ever heard. That's it. That's all it is. It's one of the smartest things I've ever heard. And he's right. He's absolutely right. Tomorrow night, you guys, Flavors of Connecticut will be live on social media. We'll be having a great time talking to all these chefs, plus some other chefs. So stay tuned for that. We'll see it. We'll post it everywhere. Should be a great time. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Make sure we give it the time it deserves. Big thanks to our chefs tonight. See you guys. Peace.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.